But first, it's the story of a mother whose disabled son tested and deepened her faith. Laura Quarell has more.
My guest today is Kathy Bolduc. Her son Joel has autism, a mental disorder that makes it hard for him to relate to other people. But she says that hasn't stopped him from relating to God in his own way. Her new book is about finding meaning and hope in raising a son with a disability. It's called Autism and Alleluias. Kathy Bolduc, welcome to Interfaith Voices.
Thank you, Laura. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Kathy, you begin the book by describing one particular communion Sunday when Joel was 11. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, we had stopped taking Joel to Sunday school because he had such a hard time behaviorally in the Sunday school class. So we would sit in the front row at church because in the front row he couldn't kick the people in front of us or reach forward and pull anybody's hair. One particular communion Sunday, as the pastor raised the elements, he said, "This is the body of Christ broken for you." And then he raised the cup and he said, "This is the blood of Christ poured out that you might live." All of a sudden, Joel just stood up and he clapped his hand to his chest and he said, "For me, for me." And then he turned around and said it to the people behind us. And remember, we're in the very front row. And so he's looking back at everybody in the whole church and he's saying, "For me, for me." And it was just like the love of God was just glimmering on his face. And it was truly one of the more spiritual experiences of my life.
Joel was diagnosed with autism when he was 13. And autism is in the news a lot these days, but it's not always explained. So if you could briefly remind us what autism is.
Well, autism is a neurological disorder that impacts the way a person relates to the world. Sensory issues are quite a problem for people with autism. They're not able to screen out what is coming in. So what they hear, what they see very often is very overwhelming for them. Sometimes there's some cognitive disability that goes along with autism, but it's quite a huge spectrum. So some people are cognitively impaired who have autism, and some have very high IQs. So the main thing is the social impairment.
And where does Joel fall on that spectrum?
Joel is probably pretty much in the middle of the spectrum, but he also has moderate cognitive disabilities. He had some brain damage, we believe, at birth. So he relates cognitively probably on about a preschool level, socially maybe on a middle school level.
Joel is 25 now. Tell me more about what he's like. Like, what would be someone's first impression of him?
Well, he's a very handsome 25-year-old with just a heart-melting smile. He loves to do this little Groucho Marx thing with his eyebrows, and all of the girls just really like that. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets a kick out of that. He loves the girls. He's quite a flirt. He loves to dance. And he just moved at the beginning of this summer to Safe Haven Farms, which is a farm for adults with autism that was just put together outside of Cincinnati, Ohio, where we live.
How do you think Joel understands what God is?
I think that Joel understands God to be love. And I think that the church has been a very important place in him learning that. Just by being loved and accepted for who he is. I also think that he is plugged in to that higher spiritual realm that is such a mystery to all of us. Whenever the sermon is about the Holy Spirit, Joel sits up and listens very, very closely. Usually he doesn't listen to the sermon at all. Matter of fact, wants to get up and leave during the sermon. And worship. He is very drawn into worship. So I think on the level that's above the cognitive level, I think he relates spiritually to what is beyond our comprehension as human beings.
Hmm. How have you come to understand God differently since you had Joel?
Well, I would have to say that Joel really has been one of the bigger spiritual teachers of my life. And I think probably the biggest lesson that I have learned about God through being Joel's mom is that Joel loves and accepts me just as I am, that I don't have to try so hard to be the perfect mom or the perfect wife or whatever I'm striving to be in any particular moment in time, that God just loves me for who I am. Because I know that God loves Joel just for who he is, that productivity, intelligence, performance, none of that matters in God's eyes as far as Joel is concerned. And if it doesn't matter as far as Joel is concerned, it doesn't matter as far as I'm concerned. So I've really come to see God as unconditional love.
But I know that you've struggled so much with your relationship to God and to Joel. There's been times mm-hmm. where you just said to, you know, just take him from me. I can't do this anymore.
Yes. It's been hard.
Could you describe one of those low points when you just felt you just couldn't do it anymore?
Yes, there. I write about that. There, one of the chapters in Autism and Alleluia is about right before school was starting. I think Joel was about 13 or 14, and the year before had been a horrendous year. And we would have 12 people sitting around a table every month talking about Joel's behavior and charting his behavior. And it was just terrible. And I sat down to pray one day in August right before school started. And I said, this is it, God. I can't do it. I cannot live through another school year like next year. And I no sooner finished praying that than I received a letter in the mail from this wonderful artist who is a Dominican nun with a picture that she had painted of Jesus in the middle of Joel's classroom. And she had painted that from a chapter in my first book. His name is Joel. And so I come out of prayer. I come out of telling God I can't do it anymore. And here I am holding a picture of Jesus in the middle of Joel's classroom. And I've got this physical piece of paper in my hand, a picture showing me that, yes, God is there and God is going to be there. It's quite amazing.
This book is about your experience raising Joel, but it's also a collection of psalms that you wrote. And one of mm-hmm. them that really, I think, captures something special for me was called Waiting Rooms.
Yes.
Could you read that for us?
I'd love to. Waiting Rooms. I spend so many hours in waiting rooms, pediatrician, neurologist, behavioral specialist, psychiatrist, school psychologist, play therapist, so many doctors, so much advice, so little understanding. What do they know despite diplomas on sterile walls of living with disability? It's different here. This therapist knows disability. It moved in 20-some years ago with her firstborn child. She plays with my son, leaving me alone with a cup of tea, my thoughts and magazines, Travel and Leisure, Smithsonian, Family Fun. Sometimes I read them and fume. What happened to my family's fun? Only the beach for us, familiar and undemanding. No museums or theme parks, too stimulating. No long road trips, stopping at motels with pools each night, too disruptive. Above the magazine rack, brochures offer a better life. Women's mind, body wellness, natural wellness and healing, conflict management. I hear my son's laughter, the sound of knocking on flimsy walls, his current game, sometimes funny, sometimes enough to make me scream, stop. I sip raspberry tea and step into Monet's garden onto a bridge awash in a dream of green, countless scenes of beauty just outside the cottage door, waiting for the artist's brush. I wonder, can I carve a garden from the weedy turf of life, plant colors of my choosing and arrangements pleasing to my eye, weed out thistles of resentment and fear, replace them with flowers of joy and contentment? Suspended between past and future, in this waiting room, today, I weave a garden plan of beauty while I wait for my son.
What were you feeling when you wrote that?
It was a time that I was feeling very depressed. Actually, I was still coming to terms with Joel's disability. And I had been struggling with depression, but I was in a place where I knew that I couldn't remain there and that I didn't want to remain there. And as I looked at that painting on the wall, I realized I really was standing in an in-between place, and I had a choice to move out of the depression toward a place called acceptance and a place where I could make some of my own decisions with God's help about my future and my son's future.
Kathy, I know that now you're an advocate for how houses of worship can be more welcoming to people with disabilities. What are some things that you recommend?
First of all, I recommend getting to know the story of the family. Meet with the family, find out about the child, or it might be an adult with a disability. Find out about who they are and what their life is like. And then start small. You don't have to start a big program. Find a buddy to attend church or Sunday school with this person with a disability. Find somebody who's willing to do something with them outside of church. And just start out with one child and take it from there.
What do you want people to understand about your son, Joel?
You know, I think I want them to understand that he is an absolutely beautiful person with a lot of gifts to bring to the world, and to look past the outward manifestations, and to learn how to just be comfortable with somebody who's a little bit different. I think that once you get out of your comfort zone and you take that step forward, you will be very, very pleasantly surprised at how funny and how charming and how lovable Joel is, and all the other fellows that have autism that he lives with and works with.
Well, Kathy Bolduc, thank you so much for joining us on Interfaith Voices.
Thank you, Laura. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
Kathy Bolduc is the author of Autism and Alleluias.